Wasn't that amazing? Thank you so much to all of you who, you must have put loads of effort and time into that, and that was really special. Thank you so much for that. So we just staying with that theme of being God's children, we're going to come now to a chance to say sorry for the times when we haven't lived as though we are God's children. And the words of this prayer of saying sorry, of confession, they'll be up on the screen for us to say. So let's say this together. Loving Father, forgive us when we live fearfully, forgetting that you are for us. Forgive us when we live selfishly, forgetting who you would have us be. Forgive us when we live captive to the world's values, forgetting that you have set us free. Forgive us when we take your love for granted and forget to thank you for your endless love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Heavenly Father, as your beloved children, we thank you for your gift of forgiveness. Hear our prayers and help us to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're carrying on this morning with our sort of tasters for the SHAPE course, which some of us may be doing on our own or in house groups, learning to identify the gifts and abilities which God has given us and what our calling might be. And so just linking into that, I thought we might do something a little bit interactive and actually get you off your seats. Now, some of you may have taken part in online scavenger hunts over the last few weeks of lockdown. And so I thought we would do a mini, well, probably actually microscopic scavenger hunt this morning. So listen carefully, because you will only have 2 minutes. 2 minutes, okay? So what I want you to do in the next 2 minutes is to bring to your screen a piece of paper, a pen, and something that really, really matters to you, a treasured possession or something that represents that, okay? A pen, a piece of paper, and a treasured possession. 2 minutes, go.
Paul and Vicky, have you brought Barney the dog?
Definitely a treasured possession.
So everyone's sort of reassembling there. Excellent. Okay. So would you like
Hazel's
to...
Hazel's brought Stephen.
Hazel's brought Stephen. Well, I had a choice. I had this, but I've gone for this. Would you like to hold up your treasure possessions? Let's see. Okay. Oh, a cat. Oh, we're missing ours. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I've got Emma, but I wouldn't say she's a possession, but she's certainly a treasure.
She's a treasure. Ah. Oh,
you stopped me from going later, mine. Paul.
Would anybody like to put their hand up if they'd like to tell us about their treasure? Any hands up? Can I see your hand up?
Yes, there's a treasure. Colin.
Colin, can you unmute and tell us about your treasure in about 10?
Right, so the cardboard steam train. This was actually given to me in France by my eldest grandson, and I managed to get it home safely.
Fantastic. Yeah, very special. Okay, Jung and Jeff. 10 seconds. Can you unmute?
Yeah, sorry, I was clapping. I was for Colin.
Oh, you were clapping. Sorry, I thought that was a hand. Okay, all right. Okay.
Possession, we have two. The other one is...
you've got two. So, okay, so the other thing I asked you to get was a piece of paper and a pen. And what I'd like you to do with that is to write down on there one thing that you hope will have been changed by coronavirus. Might be something in the world, in society, or in your life, but one thing that you hope will have changed because of this pandemic. Right, I'm going to give you 10 more seconds. Okay, now we've probably not got time to share those at the moment, but if you are able to join for the chat and prayer after the service, then there will be an opportunity to talk about those if you'd like to. But if not, could I just encourage you to perhaps put that with your Bible or wherever you sit to pray and to ask God for that thing to change, and also to ask God to show you through that what he is perhaps calling you to do, what your desires and dreams actually say to you about the gifts and calling that God has given you. Thank you. So I'm now going to ask Paul and then Dave to bring our Bible readings. So Paul, if you would like to unmute.
Yes, and I have my other treasured possession here as well, of course.
Of course.
Yes, the first of this morning's reading is Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through to 6. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 15, reading from verse 15. "Yet I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace of God gave me to be the minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." This is the word of God.
Right, thanks for that. And thanks particularly to the youth, and Emma particularly, who put together the song for us at the beginning. That was amazing, an amazing effort. So yeah, I see lots of people clapping there in the different pictures. So thank you for that. We are gonna be thinking about what we want. We already started thinking about that through those ideas about what do we want to have changed through the pandemic. Let me pray for us as we come to consider those things from these passages that we've just heard. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep the things that we want in your kind of perspective. Are they the things that you want as well as the things that we want? Help us to hear you through your word this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, so if I told you that my ambition was to own the most expensive model of Ferrari, what would you say to me? Aside, that is, from the fact that I'm not doing very well at realizing my ambitions. Is it a good ambition to have? How can we even tell if something like that is a good or a bad ambition? The whole idea of that is quite complicated, isn't it? Have you thought about a bucket list? Do you have a bucket list? You know, that idea of the things that you would like to have achieved with this precious life before it is over. Bucket lists are a fairly new idea, but people are talking about them a lot at the moment, aren't they? Are they good ambitions? The things that are on your bucket list, are they godly ambitions? And how would you be able to tell? They're the kind of questions I'd like us to be asking. So suppose I said to you, I want to visit the Niagara Falls, or I want to see my children into decent careers, or I want to retire in comfort, or I want to achieve a certain handicap. For which of these would you one day expect to stand before God Almighty and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Now, in case you hadn't guessed this already, it's really not at all as simple as saying, here's a set of good ambitions, here's a set of bad ambitions, try and stick to the good ones. Because what might be a good and godly ambition for me might not be for you. And of course, vice versa as well. Because we all know that everything depends on your calling and your motivation. So take that idea, ambition to own an expensive Ferrari. Is it a godly ambition? Well, you might point me towards Bible passages about the love of money as the root of all evil, or about not coveting, or as in desiring what other people have. You might get me thinking about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And of course, for me, I'd sadly have to agree, these would be the right things to say. But suppose I was somebody else. Suppose I ran a wedding car business, and genuinely and deeply, I knew in my heart that the only motivation for owning that Ferrari would be to bless people with a great fun car to use on their wedding day. Would that change things? Yeah, I'm guessing that it would. So as we take a look at the passage from Romans 15, I'm going to concentrate there for this talk. The Apostle Paul has an ambition in verse 20. His ambition is to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Is it a good and godly ambition? And how can we tell? Because in our day and age, in our culture, that ambition of Paul's wouldn't have been automatically, yeah, that's a good ambition. It would be challenged in our culture. Oh, is it right to go and impose your religion on other people? It would be challenged in our culture. So what Paul does is in the, actually, we didn't hear it this morning, but the very next verse afterwards, he points to Old Testament scriptures, which indicate that his ambition fits into the big ambition that God has for the world. So obviously that's a very big tick. But there's lots of other things going on here as well. So in verse 19, Paul working out his ambition has clearly been something that has been blessed by God with signs and wonders, as well as with success. He talks about having taken the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum, all the way around the coast, from Jerusalem through modern day Lebanon and Syria, around the coast of Turkey, through Greece, up through the Balkans, as far as modern day Croatia. God has blessed what he has been doing. So with hindsight, I suppose you could say that's another big tick. In verse 18, he's very clear that in working out his ambition, it points not to himself, but to Jesus in him. So another tick, there we are. In verse 17, he says, I glory in Christ. There's no sense of not sure if this is God's desire for me. He knows that full well. He knows deep down in his heart. That takes us back to that earlier question. When Paul knew that he was going to come and stand before God, he knew that he could do it with confidence that he had done what God called him to do. Another big tick. In verse 16, it comes out, this ambition of Paul's comes out of a long-term sense of calling and identity in Jesus. So again, another big tick. So if you want to recap those kind of ideas that Paul has for knowing that his ambition is a good one, it fits into God's plans. He can see it as blessed by God. Now, got to be careful here, whatever form that blessing might take, because numerical or financial success is most definitely not everything, but he can see his ambition being blessed by God. It points to Jesus. He can feel its rightness before God. And it's not a here today, gone tomorrow kind of ambition. It's his ongoing Christian life of faith. We often call it vocation, if you like. So my question this morning, have you stopped recently to ask yourself, what ambitions do I have? What are my heart's desires? What's on my bucket list? And are they good and godly and God-given things? And have you done that hard work of actually self-examination and gone, are they good and godly things, or are they a product of sin at work within me? And so Jenny's already mentioned that this is a little bit of a trailer for this SHAPE course, looking at gifting and ability and desire and things like that. So my question is, if you haven't actually sat down and had that kind of conversation with the Lord, is it time to get onto the SHAPE course and start thinking through those kind of things? The SHAPE course definitely helps us to do that with things like ambition. But we can also do it with things to do with our abilities. What's God made me for? And we can do the same kind of thing from the Acts passage. I'm not going to go through in the same kind of detail the Acts passage. But to fulfill his good and godly ambition, Paul has been given some serious talent. He's skilled at tent making, but he's also schooled in Jewish theology. And he's an expert at Greek oratory. Now, I imagine Paul, after his conversion, basically sitting down and saying to himself, praying through these kind of ideas, you know, this is what I've been given. Let's use it all in the service of Jesus. And then he's done the business of praying through what that looks like in practice. When did you last sit down and pray through those kind of ideas? These are the skills that I've been given. How can they be put to use in the kingdom of God? And again, my question is it time for a SHAPE course? Because again, what SHAPE does is gets you to sit down and think through, hold on, these are the things that God has given me, the skills, the abilities. How can I deploy them in his service? And I have to say, there'll be some people sitting here thinking, oh, that's not for me. But honestly, no one is too young for this. And certainly no one is too old. Think about the Apostle Paul again. He writes to Timothy at the end of his life. He says the time for his departure is near. He's fought the good fight. He's finished the race. He's kept the faith. Now, the things we might do in the service of the kingdom might change. But our calling as Christians, in a sense, doesn't. So no one is too old for this either. No one is too inexperienced or too unskilled. Because actually all of us were created by God for a purpose. I'm going to close here with a prayer, but my prayer is that actually for each of us, we would take that time to pray through these ideas. What ambition, what godly desire has God set in my heart? And what skills has he given me? So let's pray. Lord, I pray that for each of us, you would help us to see what you have given us, not just in the past, but at this moment in our lives. What have you given us as a godly ambition? What have you given us as the skills and the resources to carry that out? Lord, be speaking to us about the part that you have for each one of us to play in your kingdom here on earth. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Chris, thank you. We're going to have a time of prayer now, which the Poltons are going to lead for us. So if I could just ask them to unmute.
Okay, so we've all written some prayers for today, and my son is just joining us to read his prayer in a few minutes, however reluctantly. But let's start with the ones that we've written for me to start with. So, dear Lord, we thank you that in the developed world, coronavirus infections have started to decline. We continue to raise the needs of the developing world, nations in Africa and in the Americas to you as they fight rising infections. Thank you, Father, for how modern technology has allowed churches to meet and to continue to welcome new people. Yet we pray for those who may not have access to these avenues and are at risk of being truly isolated. Please draw close to them and help us support them.
Dear Father, thank you that there have been enough noodles in the cupboard, and we trust that you will keep providing for us all.
Okay, Bertie.
Dear Father, please can you preserve all our friendships through this through these challenging times apart.
And dear Father, we pray for governments and their leaders in these unprecedented times. We pray that they make wise choices. We pray for our government that they deliver clear messaging regarding lockdown rules, risk to different people groups, and long-term recovery strategies. And we pray also for the hearers of the message, the head teachers and teachers, the unions, the business leaders and staff, public transport providers, and public citizens. We pray that they have access to all the information they need to implement guidelines wisely and objectively.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed. We're just going to, we're coming towards the end of our service, and I think we will just say a closing prayer together, and then there will be a song, and the song will take us out to the end of the service. So please do join us after that, if you can, on the other link for some chat, some more prayer, some sharing of our hopes and our treasures. But let's say this prayer together, Chris, if we could put this onto the screen. May God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of all that is good and of value, keep our hearts and minds fixed on him and his service through the power of his Holy Spirit, today and always. Amen. So let's join together now and sing. We're going to sing Cornerstone.